Welcome to the Good Food Podcast. In this episode, Jose Pizarro sits down with me, Samuel Goldsmith, to discuss his 25 years of cooking in London. And he confesses to his secret food guilty pleasure, plus why his mum always kept him out of the kitchen. I'm thrilled to have one of my favourite chefs with us today. It's the amazing Jose Pizarro.
Thank you for having me.
No, not at all.
It's lovely to be here.
And you're here for an incredible reason, which is that you're celebrating 25 years in the UK.
Yeah.
Or just 25 years of chefing in the UK.
Chefing in the UK.
Yeah, and so your silver anniversary, what are you going to be doing? How are you going to be celebrating?
Definitely with a lot of parties.
Fantastic.
Bring a lot of people together and bring my old mentors.
Okay.
That is Julio Reollo, who was working with him in Madrid. And then my mentor in the UK, that is David Eyre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's living now in Portugal.
Oh, wow.
And he's being very out the radar.
So you've moved to the cold weather and he's moved to the nice, warm climates.
Yeah. But the good thing about the UK, you know, many of the things that we have here is that you can travel quite quick.
Yes.
And you can be in Portugal, Spain in 2.5 hours. Easy.
Because you still spend a lot of time in Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a house in Spain now, and we try to spend more time there. Yeah, hopefully at some point. My dream is to be 6 months in Spain and 6 months in the UK.
Lovely.
You know, but the house is quite new, and I don't feel home there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely London is my home.
Yeah. And I mean, what is the secret to sustaining like such a long career, and also not just a long career, but also one where you're incredibly successful, and you know, everybody, when you talk about your food, you know, everybody loves it and it brings a lot of joy to people. So what is the secret?
For me, it's to bring new things to the table.
Yeah.
You know, what is important for me always being trying to show to my clientele, to my customer, then Spanish cuisine is not just patatas bravas, sangria, and paella. I have patatas bravas, I have sangria, and I have paella in my restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a lot of more than that.
Sure.
And always I try to bring something new to have my customers and my friends always interested. You know,
yeah.
That is very important. We always want to learn.
Yeah, of course. Something. And how often would you change your menu in your restaurant?
We have always the same things on the menu, the jamon, things like everyone love.
You're very famous for your tortilla as well.
My tortilla I have yesterday. You know, when you just busy, I pass Jose to another meeting, I stop in Jose, I have a piece of omelette tortilla de patatas with an Americano, and I was very, very happy. Was no time for a sherry, but yeah, that is important to always to bring something new, to keep your customer looking for something or what is going to be next. Yeah. That's it, the way.
And where do you get your inspiration from?
It's important for me to go to Spain.
Yeah.
And it's where meeting new people, meeting new suppliers, not just go and try a new cheese, or someone is doing something very unique, and I just won't go there to see, you know, a small piece and a small, you know, distance. Always is something new. And for me, the important thing is to go to Spain and do the research. That means drinking and eating.
Those Americanos, the tortillas.
A lot of Americanos, a lot of tortilla. Go all over Spain and just meet new people.
Yeah.
Meeting new people and to see what is behind everything, you know, when you have that new ingredient, what is behind? Because it's when you see or you learn what being behind always is richer for you, always is more interesting, and you can pass to your team.
The love, isn't it, that they're showing for their produce.
Exactly. Yeah. The history.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so obviously you do spend a lot of time in Spain, but also you love Wales as well. Mm-hmm. And your partner's from Wales.
Peter is from Wales and he's living now in London. But Wales was amazing. Just walking in Gawa Peninsula.
Yes.
It's a beautiful
part of the world.
It's a beautiful part of the world and absolutely amazing people.
And great produce as well.
Great produce. Yeah. And the salt marsh lamb. Always I remember Hilda, his mom, doing the Sunday roast. And Jose, is salt marsh lamb. Gracias, Hilda. It's important, like we say, memories.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And that memory for me is really lovely.
Yeah. And obviously, being a chef is incredibly, it's quite a stressful job.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you like to relax?
It's stressful, but I think you get in a point with the stress, it's no stress anymore. Mm. You know, just
sure.
get that. But I try walking my dogs, mm. is something very important. And going to the museum, going to see new exhibitions, and that relax me, reading, and just try to learn something new. Walking around London sometimes is just something always I say and not doing for a very long time. When I was living in Borough Market, in Borough, High Street Borough Market, that area, for me, nothing better than finish work very late, go to the Millennium Bridge.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
When it's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, it's no one there.
Yeah.
One side you have the gorgeous state, and
yes.
another side you have St. Paul. And that, you know, to see the city, to see everyone around, mm. there was no one, you know, to see the whole building, lights, that for me was one of the, and it's one of the best things that you can do.
Yeah, it's
relax.
A fantastic place because you've got, as you say, you've got St. Paul's one side, Tate the other, and that bridge is quite modern.
It's quite modern, yeah.
So it's a very, yeah, it's a very interesting place to be. It feels like you're part of two worlds almost.
And there's no one there
yeah.
when it's late, you know.
Yeah.
The day is full of tourism.
Yeah.
And the evening, the night, it's just like you are there and you say, okay, being a quite tough day,
mm.
but look where you are. You
Absolutely.
Are in the best place ever.
Yeah.
Let's go back to work. Well, not that time of the night.
So you don't, like you say, you don't find it stressful. I guess if you're doing something you love,
mm.
it's much easier to sustain that.
Totally.
Mm.
Of course, it's stressful because, you know, we are a big family now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of responsibilities. But I love what I do. And very important, I have the best team ever.
Yeah,
that is there for the team, for me, and to do new things and to cover each other. You know,
mm.
It's a big family and a family that I have to say I'm so proud.
That's that, nice.
Definitely is the best team
yeah.
ever I had.
I remember coming for dinner and you were there, and you could really sense that everyone just loved it.
Mm.
That. They loved that you were there. They loved being around the environment, the food. And I think that is a very hard, you know, it's a difficult thing to create, I think.
Mm. It's difficult, and more when, you know, Jose, for example, my little corner is mm. like 32 square meters and everyone is very close to each other. I can see them, the waiter, waitress, they cannot move, but everyone is so content to be there.
Yeah.
The team and the customer. And it's kind of a dance
mm.
between us that is. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Pizarro is busy, it's noisy, it's a beautiful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just easy, I think, to make people happy. Because for me, it's hospitality. Hospitality
sure.
is not about me, it's not about the team. Of course, we need to enjoy, we need to be happy. But it's about anyone crossing that door,
mm.
need to live content, need to be happy. You know, and sometimes it's not easy, just to say.
Do you think your sort of upbringing and your Spanish heritage is part of that? Because I think it might sound stereotypical, but I think this, you know, when you go to Spain, it is so vibrant and everybody really does actually seem to love hospitality and love putting on, you know, or creating an ambiance for you.
But that I think that is coming from me. From I was a kid, you know, my mum mm. always, even she was always with my dad working very hard, by the way,
yeah.
in a farm. Always had time for people coming to the house. Always mm. have time, of course, for us, and to cook the best food and to make the people happy. It's what she teach me. Whatever you do, my dad say and my mum say, do with love,
that's nice.
And that's it.
Mm.
And it's inside of you. You cause the same, try to make people happy than not.
Mm.
Even it's easier.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's a much nicer way to live,
yeah.
isn't it?
Of course, sometimes it's quite difficult because, you know, life is challenging sometimes, but it's important to have that smile.
Yeah.
Anyone crossing the door, if you are welcome with a smile,
mm.
is a good start of the journey.
And I think you're at your happiest when you're entertaining.
I love entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, I love entertaining. Peter loves entertaining. We love to bring people home. And so many people think, no, I'm going to a chef house. It's going to be very, you know, chefing, sit down, starter, main courses. No, 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 no way, Jose. You come in straight to the kitchen and we cook together.
That's lovely.
You know, it will be some tapas to start with. But the important thing when you're entertaining is just bring people. You know, that is what I love. Open a nice bottle of wine, sherry, whatever it is, just to have a good time.
Yeah,
and just forget everything. Or try.
And you were saying that you grew up on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that gave you like an appreciation and a love of produce?
I was a very naughty, no bad boy, but very naughty. For me, I have ADHD or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it was quite difficult to concentrate. That means that always I was up and down. My mom always working with my dad, and she always had the time for cooking for herself.
Yeah.
You know? That means that she was in the kitchen and she was enjoying cooking for us.
Yeah.
And I tried to be always naughty to her. She was sending me out. But what I always enjoy was that kind of just go to the farm and pick up a milk from the cow. You guys go to the vegetable garden and just it's very stereotype to say to pick up a tomato than taste that tomato and smell like tomato. But it's the truth.
Mm.
You know, when it's hot in summer in Spain, in Extremadura, where I'm coming from, to go there, that is something that even I was not able to cook with it, that tomato, but that smell always will be in my brain.
Yeah.
That smell, that you know, the fresh bread, the churros in the morning, all of those things always being in my brain.
It's very nostalgic, isn't it? I think food brings back a lot of memories for people.
And it's all about memories, you know? It's all about memories. It's all about memories is what it's all about.
So, and your mum then cooks very differently to you because for her it was sort of stay away, this is my space, it's my time to relax. But for you, it's much more about bringing people in.
My mum was that at the time, but she was loved to be to have people there, you know what I mean?
To entertain.
Entertain in the way when you are a very busy woman, you can do, no?
Yeah.
You know? But always was in her smile, you know? When my friends came from Cáceres, from the university or whatever, and she always smiled when she people happy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's 90 now. She's coming for my big party, by the way.
Oh, lovely.
And it's just that smile is what is, you know, content just to see. I'm being happy. I've been busy. I've been whatever. But when you have that,
so it was just you that wasn't allowed in the kitchen.
I was not allowed. In the kitchen. I was very naughty, and I tried to. And always she was running behind me with a slipper and throwing it. Bless her. I love her.
Sounds a bit like a sort of a television drama. Almost.
It was on television. Yeah. In every single aspect.
Now, as well as your chefing career, you've also written several cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favourites is Spanish Flavours. There's a dish in there, the chocolate and hazelnut tart. Mm-hmm. You've put like a splash of sherry in. Absolutely delicious.
My friend, sherry makes everything happy.
Yeah. People, food.
People don't understand how sherry it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's something that when you do learn about, you never stop.
Mm.
Because so many different, of course, wineries and so many, but so many different ways to make it. Well, it's the same way, no, but too many different flavors, and it's absolutely amazing. And I love cooking with sherry.
Yeah.
I love it because always give that extra, you know?
Like a depth.
To the food. I use the dark sherry, the Oloroso, Palo Cortado, or Amontillado, I use as a red wine.
Okay, interesting.
And then I use Fino and Manzanilla as a white wine.
Okay.
For cooking.
Yeah.
You know, it's
pale,
it's dry, it's really light in color. And and always use the same wine that you are drinking for cooking.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, because so often people say, oh, just use the cheap stuff if you're cooking.
Of course.
But you're putting that flavor into your food, ultimately.
Of course, you are not going to spend £50 of wine,
bottle
of wine for cooking, no, but I have to be a good and
you'd want to drink it at least.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think also when people think about Spain, obviously think of vermouth, mm-hmm. which I know I'm saying incorrectly because I, when I went to Spain and tried to order it, they were like, no, we don't do that here.
I love vermouth. Yeah. And something that we do on Sunday. And it's just when we are in Spain, always it's just like open a thing of mussels, fried crisps, you know,
yeah.
and a vermouth sitting there. This is my starter on the lunch.
And so simple.
Yeah.
It just shows, doesn't it, really? Like, I think yeah. often, actually, when people come on here, chefs, food writers, it's about the simplicity. Mm. It's not very often about the complexity of food.
I think simplicity is difficult because, you know, it's quite difficult to bring a piece of pork than is you can eat alone. You know, have to be really, really good. And you have to do a lot of research for
That's true.
That is not. But simplicity for me is the winner.
And that's your trips, though. You can go back to Spain. You can have all of your Americanos whilst you're on your journeys to find new producers.
Walk up and down.
So you're saying about the cookbooks. Is that a process that obviously you must enjoy that process, but it's very different to chefing, I imagine.
Well, it's all about the books. Mm. It's all about memories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the research.
Yes.
It's about, like we said before, it's the same thing that when for new ingredients. You go to one region and then you want to meet that guy is doing that kind of tortilla or is doing that kind of vermouth. You know, you're just going around and learn.
Yeah.
And for me, it's always important to discover and learn something different and then bring it here and try to, it's what I've been doing the last 25 years, you know, try to make people interesting. And books for me is very, very important.
Yeah. I suppose, like you say, it's the memories and you can document them with all the beautiful photography and things.
Exactly. And then in my latest book, Spanish Home Kitchen, every single recipe has some memory. It's a reason for to be there.
Which is lovely.
It is lovely.
Yeah.
Because it's very close to your heart.
Yeah.
And I think when you put yourself there, it's nice for people to understand what is behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people don't always realize that when they go out for dinner is that actually, you know, these recipes or these dishes are not just there to kind of for you to pick from. They're also, they've been carefully thought about. Like there's some care. And like you say about the produce, there's a love behind the recipe as well.
It's no point to put something on the menu for myself anyway, than maybe I know that it's not done properly or is something not naughty or dodgy behind.
Yeah.
Because always when you are in the past or you will, that will bring that kind of thing to your memory.
Mm.
But when you are, you know, when you just have the amazing vinegar or whatever and you know the person behind and you are using the vinegar, not always remind him or her, but always bring a memory about that. And it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like we say, memories.
Yeah. And so, 25 years this year, what do you think, or where would you like to be in another 25 years' time? What would that be? Gold anniversary, is that? Or is that platinum, diamond?
I don't know. I don't understand that. When they put me Jose, it's 25, is that? I say, okay, well, let's put it. The only, I want to be somehow in my kitchens. I want to, just keep it going. Hopefully, like we say, maybe I'm going to spend more time in Spain.
Yes.
But I just want to be cooking, to be entertaining, to be, you know, be able to have my glass of sherry with my prawns and my plato de jamón ibérico. You know what I mean? That is how I want to be, keeping going, keeping going and being around people that you love. That's it.
That's lovely. And we talked a lot about, or you've talked a lot about all these, you know, some of your favourite foods, your favourite drinks. Something that we always ask our guests is about their favourite dish. So, I'd love to ask you, is there something that perhaps you're cooking like a lot at the moment or a dish that really reminds you of your sort of the past, like we were talking about nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that comes to mind as a favourite dish?
I'm telling you, we can be here 5 months talking about my favourite dishes. But lately, I've been doing and cooking, I've been researching before and eating for many, many times, is the tuna, the bluefin tuna from South Spain, when we have our house. It's a bluefin tuna being caught. It's wild, you know, and it's caught in a sustainable way, where the government is absolutely 100% sure that everyone follow how, you know, all the process. And those tunas are not that kind of, nothing wrong, you know, that growing in a farm. These tuna coming from the Atlantic to the Mediterranean and are caught there.
Yeah.
In the same way than definitions, we are catching the tuna. We are talking about 3,000 years ago.
Yes.
And when you try that tuna, that oil, that fat, you know, proper fat, not proper fat from, is something unique. And I do now this is atún encebollado. It's tuna stew with plenty of onions and paprika, and, you know, and it's something that I just love it.
Yeah,
you know, take me a long time because I start doing my stock, my fish stock, then I aromatize with a chili and then with a fennel seed and oregano, and then I'm using those spices to cook it. You know, and the tuna is the onions are cooked for very long time,
and very slow
until you caramelize. No, caramelize. Sorry, translucent the onions. They're very nice, and then just add some sherry. Well, first, paprika, mentón de la vera, and then add some sherry, and then just the stock, and then you add the oregano, and a little bit of vinegar with the sherry. And then the last minute, you just add the tuna.
Okay.
The tuna is like butter.
Mm.
It's the flavor, that kind, like we say, that natural oils, that being, and these animals being living in the cold, you know, they are big and healthy, and it's something that is in my brain. And I just love to go to Zara de los Atunes, where we have the house, and cook it. I'm cooking here in the restaurant and cooking for my friends.
My mouth is watering because I have actually tried the tuna at the restaurant. And I will, honestly, I talk about it quite a lot to people, the tuna ribs, because it was such a surprise. I'd never even thought that you could have something like that. And it was so delicious.
It's so tender.
Yeah.
And we marinate in the same way that my mum marinate the pork ribs.
Just
some chili, some garlic, some parsley, extra virgin olive oil, and some lemon. But when you put that on the table, you know, is people, tuna ribs.
Yeah.
You just try them. They are absolutely amazing. And this company, is the one I buy, is called Gadira. And they've been in the family for many years. And they, when you, like we say before, when you know the history, when you know what is behind, is fish in the tuna in the same way than we are doing now. It's incredible. And it's amazing what we can do, because the fishermen went to the government at some point and they say, we need to stop fishing this tuna. Yeah, because it's going to finish. And now, I think 10, 15 years after, we have absolutely beautiful tunas going in our sea, and we are able to fish again.
And it's fantastic, because I think, you know, it could easily have gone the other way, where it was overfished completely, or now that it's back, it would have been easy to just go, oh, well, let's just go for it again. It's great to hear that the Spanish government are making sure that it's being caught sustainably.
They do things properly.
Because that is, I think, a worry sometimes about tuna, is that people are concerned that actually it's not a sustainable fish to
definitely
eat.
We, as a chef, are the one who need to be sure that everything is followed properly.
Because not all tuna is sustainably caught, is it?
Exactly.
But the great thing about this one is that it is, and it has such a great history to it.
Yeah, I see. And when you just see that fish, piece of fish, and you just think about the history, just the flavor, it's made me happy.
And what's the area called again?
It's in Zara de los Atunes. It's a...
You have to say that slower.
Zahara de los Atunes.
It has tuna in the name.
I have to write the name. And it's in Cádiz.
Okay.
And it's,
Which, when I first heard you say that, I thought you said Cardiff.
Cardiff.
And that's a very different place.
Different place. Lovely, both of them.
For very different reasons.
Very different.
And so the dish that you were saying before, your favourite dish, which is the onions and with the tuna, what's that called again?
Atún encebollado. It's just tuna stew.
Tuna stew with onions.
Simplicity.
And you serve that at the restaurant
as
well.
We do.
How often would you say you cook with this at home, or cook with the tuna at home?
At home, when I'm here, I cook more in the restaurants. When I'm in Spain, in my house, I cook, I will say, almost every day.
Wow.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
And when it's the season, and that is in April until June, depending, because when you catch the volume, then you can catch finished.
Yes.
it's amazing to go to and to go to the shop and to go. It's really because all the ladies and gentlemen, guys, old ones and young, they are waiting the whole year for the catching.
Okay. You know? Yeah, of course.
And you see all of them, and you ask them, okay, when you ask, well, they ask for a different cat. okay, I never hear that cat before. How you cook?
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
can be. Because they don't know much to do for them, they can be with you like 20 minutes explaining to you how to cook that piece of fish.
Wow.
And that is what it's all about.
Yeah, their love again. And also their knowledge of the produce. Yeah.
And it's well, you are going to be able to pass that to someone else.
Mm.
No, it's why at the moment I'm so happy to be and to try to promote the tuna from Spain.
And
the tuna from Almadraba. Almadraba is the way of fishing.
Okay. That is and that's the sustainable tuna. Method.
Sustainable.
What does that sustainable method involve?
It's just because it's sustainable. A part of that pass away the tuna in good way is the way they catching.
Mm.
You know, the small fish never get catch.
Okay.
They don't suffer. You know, the only big sites are catch.
And then, like you say, they stop.
They stop and the government is there catching and seeing every single thing.
God, they must be absolutely like raring to go when they can start catching again.
I'm gonna try to do one of those ronqueo is how they butcher the tuna. I'm gonna try to do one this year.
Oh, you're gonna learn?
No, I'm gonna do here. Someone from Spain are gonna come here and do it.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. So people can learn how to do it. That's
more than
that's
learn
amazing.
What to do it because you will never do it.
Okay,
but how? Things are involved. And this tuna, I call the pork of the sea because you eat almost everything.
Yeah.
Even the heart, the tongue, the top of the mouth,
yeah.
I don't know how you call, they do in different ways. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, the fact that it really is a sustainable product.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to move on to confessions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
let me thinking about it.
Take a big sip of that Americano. What is your biggest cooking disaster?
I have a few of those, for sure. But I remember when I start cooking, I start chefing, I tried to do a cake for my brother. And it was a chocolate cake, and I think it's still some chocolate in his ceiling. And was so embarrassed because, you know, when you just want to show, you know, and learning.
Yeah.
And that was can be one of the biggest disasters.
What happened?
Well, the machine, I didn't put properly,
oh,
and everything
no.
was all over, you know, all that little pieces in the whole kitchen.
So you were mixing the batter?
Yeah, mixing the batter, and all the thing came out.
Oh, no.
And another one, that was not my fault, but was in Pizarro, in my restaurant, and one of these combi oven, then they have the sour to clean.
Oh.
And the sour broken. And the water start coming out and is in front of my customers. And I have to close the restaurant because the people in front of the oven was like, you know, you can see the whole water coming. That was not my fault, but definitely was something.
Like an oven shower.
Yeah,
just
that, you know, because just, you used to clean the oven and to put some moist inside. And that was absolutely a disaster.
Not
my fault, but I have to say... still thinking about that evening.
Have you ever served something ready-made and pretended you made it yourself?
I did.
Oh.
And a friend of mine, she came after open exhibition. She came, she was very tired. And I asked her, Tracy, what do you want to eat? I will do anything for you. And she said, I want bean on toast. Of course, I put the beans. she knows.
She
anyway,
knows now.
She knows now. But I was like, look, you ask me, it's here.
I've created this especially for you.
Totally.
Have you got a food guilty pleasure?
Yes, it's pot noodles.
Oh, I did not expect that.
Yeah, but I cannot find... Well, I have one, not every day, as you can imagine. But the ones I cannot see anymore in my local... I have the most incredible Turkish shop. The one I like, it was chicken and ginger and spices. Absolutely.
Oh, it sounds
horrible.
Quite fancy.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes it was like, I cannot have it anymore because they finished with that label, but I will found it out.
So it's one of those instant noodles, pour over the hot water.
Then would you just smell it? Smell like, I don't know.
The way you said it, though, is with ginger and spices and chili. That sounded a lot fancier than one that I would buy.
And another one I love it is my fish and chips.
Oh, yeah.
From Long Lane. Long Lane is near to my restaurants.
Mm.
And I'm still buying that one more often than the pot noodles. And they are lovely. They do my triple cooked potatoes. That we know each other for a long time now. Yeah. And Jose, do you want your chips very crispy? And say, of course. And they do for me.
So that's a very classic British dish as well, isn't
and
it?
I love it.
Right, we're going to move on to our quick fire questions now. So not too much thinking about these okay. ones. What's your favourite kitchen job?
Kitchen job. I love peeling and I love picking herbs.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Last night I went out for dinner.
Very nice.
And it was a Chinese place and I didn't have the best dinner. Better pass, please.
Well, we won't ask you where it was then.
No, please.
What's your favourite sandwich filling?
Sandwich filling have to be jamón ibérico and manchego with some outside butter and
Oh, very nice.
Classic. And then we are doing now one called Pepito. That is a beef, kind of a ribeye, and then just in a sandwich with alioli and fried peppers.
Oh, that sounds good.
And that is amazing.
It's like a fancy steak sandwich.
Yeah. It's calling Spain Pepito. But the jamón ibérico and manchego is a classic.
Yeah, it's very good. What's the best kitchen tip you've ever been given?
I was my first head chef. She was very strong with me. She made me cry a few times.
Oh.
And she teach me to be very well organized and to concentrate in yourself. Because as you know, I'm very clumsy. I'm very thinking about four times at the same time. It's important in the kitchen to be organized.
Yeah, lovely. That's a good one. What do you listen to when you're cooking?
Normally jacks. Oh, Spanish flamenco, Spanish guitar, sorry.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Camarón de la Isla is always with Paco de Lucía, both together. Mm. That will be my dream table. You know, when you're cooking for someone that you know you will never cook, will be for Paco de Lucía and Camarón de la Isla. That will be my dream.
Yeah, it's a very Spanish table. Mm,
definitely.
What's your most trusted recipe?
My lentils with chorizo. I love it. I love to cook them. And people love it.
Proper very comfort simple, food.
Very proper comfort food. Then sometimes we do in the restaurant and I do at home quite often.
Lovely. Your most overrated food?
That kind of what is going on now, then you see crumbles, you see all of that new things, then you think, what is that? And I don't say names, I don't say, because I don't think I'm here for that, no? But when you see people queuing for things that are absolutely not good at all.
Like phones.
Phones and things like that. No, not my thing.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. Most underrated food?
The Spanish?
I don't think that's underrated.
Absolutely at all. But I just want to push there.
As the godfather of Spanish cuisine, you've made sure that it is not underrated.
Totally no, my dear. I work hard for that.
Toast in bed, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Worst thing you've ever eaten?
Worst thing I ever eaten? Dog, Camille? In Spain, this area, when they... No anymore, I think. They eat dogs when they are very small, and they gave to me without knowing.
Oh.
And another thing that we do eat in Spain and is foxes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In my area.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't eat often at all, but they were very popular in the time where was no mass food.
Mm.
Of course, they are wild. There's not the foxes that we see here in the city, bless them. But yeah, that was a little bit... But I had to try.
Yeah. And what is your ultimate comfort food?
Definitely, I will go for any lovely soup, any something very
warming.
Warm now, you know, a Vietnamese pho.
Yeah,
something like really. Sometimes we have a lovely one in Bermondsey Street. I don't know, sometimes you just go there and have one.
Something about it's quite healing, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And then our final question that we ask everybody, which is not quickfire, what makes you optimistic for the future?
I think we are very clever people living in this world, and hopefully the not clever people are going to go soon. That's it. You need to work hard for to be happy, and my job is to make people happy. Keep cooking and keep enjoying, and world is gonna, and do with love, like my mom say, and the world is gonna be much better than we need to be much better.
That's lovely. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, as always. Lovely to be here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Food Podcast. Join us next week when Malika Bazou will be speaking with food writer and author Dominique Wolfe. Don't forget, our bonus cook-along episode is out on Thursday. For more recipes and inspiration, please visit bbcgoodfood.com.